Okay, so today we'll be discussing the laws of Yom Kippur. Obviously, before I begin, you could always send questions to me at avizakutinsky@gmail.com. That's avizakutinsky@gmail.com. Today I'll discuss, to the best of my abilities, starting from Kaparis to eating on Erev Yom Kippur, to the laws of Yom Kippur itself, and especially we'll try to cover what to do for those that have to eat on Yom Kippur. It's called shiurim, eating shiurim, meaning you have to eat if you're a chola. We'll discuss all this, and we'll discuss how to eat and all that stuff, but I want to make this clear, I'm going to say this throughout the shiur, but a lot of these questions are very, very severe, and they have to be discussed with a rav. So I just want to make that clear before I start, that this is Yom Kippur. You're dealing with Yom Kippur, eating on Yom Kippur's chayv kares, so we have to be very, very careful. Whenever there's a Shiloh, we have to speak to a Rav first. Today's Shir is going to be Lili Nishmas Thelma Bastofaha, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. So the first thing, the first halacha that's related to Yom Kippur is Kaparis. Kaparis, which is it's an old minig going back to the times of the Ga'inim, and that's you take a chicken and you pass it over your head three times and you say an appropriate tefillah, and then the chicken is then shechted. And it's supposed to be given to Aniyim, or at least its value is supposed to be given to Aniyim. Now, I mentioned in one of the daily halachas, I talked a little bit about kaparis, and someone said, you know, it's very debatable whether to do kaparis. The Beis Yosef was against doing kaparis. This goes back to the 1500s. But since then, it's been pretty much accepted by everybody to do some form of kaparis. Now, if you don't want to use a chicken, and obviously, because the Beis Yosef was concerned a little bit of a Darki Amari of non-Jewish Chukos Ein Los Eilechu, falling in the ways of the Goyim and passing a chicken over your head, and the sins go to the chicken, and it threw him off. He felt that it wasn't appropriate, but it's been accepted by all the, you know, the all the sects of Jews, including the Arizal and Svardim Ashkenazim. Everybody does some form of kaparis. If you don't want to do a chicken, if it makes you uncomfortable doing a chicken, so then you use money, but the concept is you take the chicken over your head, you pass it over your head three times, and you say a tefillah. You should go on, I'm not endorsing the internet, even though I think this year is going to be online, but you should watch, there's a video of Chaim Kanievsky doing kaparis that I like to watch if you want to see how it's that calmly calms the chicken down. It's a very nice video. So anyway, you use a chicken. A male takes a rooster, and a female uses a hen. Now, for a pregnant woman, the Ramah rules that a pregnant woman should do kaparis with two chickens, a hen and a rooster. The rooster, the male rooster, in case her baby is a boy. And the hen, in case it's a girl, and if it's a girl, it'll be covered by her, it'll cover the mother and the child and the fetus as well. However, according to the Arizal, a pregnant woman has to perform kaparis with three chickens, two hens and a rooster, one hen for herself and the other hen and rooster for the unborn child and undetermined gender, we're not sure what it is. If this is expensive, you could rely on the Ramah and take a hen and a rooster. The Pais can discuss what to do if you have a sonogram, what do you have to do if you have twins. Again, all these shilas, I don't want to take too long. Rav Gavriel Zinner does say that even if she's not yet 40 days old, the pregnancy is not yet 40 days old, so we know in Halacha, before 40 days old, the baby is not really developed at all yet. It's Mayim Ba'alma. You should still do kaparis. Now, if you're not going to use a chicken, then it's customary to do money. This is on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, Erev Yom Kippur is when it's brought down to do kaparis, and if you're using money, you should do it Erev Yom Kippur. Chickens might be difficult to do Erev Yom Kippur because a lot of times the chickens are already, they're already gone by then. So I did kaparis on the chicken yesterday. So you should do it earlier if possible. It's okay to do it earlier, even the chachila. If you're going to use money, which is, I think the Pais can point out, Rishmul Kamenetsky, I think he says it's even l'chachila to use money. If you want to use money, that's completely fine. Then what you do is, you should give the amount that a chicken costs, and which is, where I go to do kaparis on chickens, it's $18 a person, so you should do $18. You should try not to, you should spend as much money as you can on this. It's a nice thing. Not as much as you can, but at least the amount that you would do on a chicken. The Paiskim also point out you should not use Meiser money for kaparis. Okay, so you should give $18 per person, and you should not use Meiser money. If money is very, very tight, you could rely on one kaparis per family. Okay, so that's the first halacha. Moving on to the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a biblical mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Rosh explains that the reason for this mitzvah is that Hashem is obviously very compassionate. He is the Rachum Chanon, and He knows that fasting is difficult for us. So to make it easier, we eat on Erev Yom Kippur in order to make it easier for us. There's a mitzvah min HaTorah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a discussion amongst the Paiskim whether there's a mitzvah to eat the night before. I'm recording this. Tonight is Erev Yom Kippur. Tonight would be the night when there's a debate whether there's a mitzvah. The Magen Avraham discusses this, the Shla, the Gra, Eshel Avraham B'Chech. Most Paiskim assume that the real mitzvah begins tomorrow morning, which is Erev Yom Kippur during the day. Now, there's a chance that there's a mitzvah tonight, according to the minority of Paiskim, so therefore, if it's a good thing if you could eat tonight. But most assume that the mitzvah begins tomorrow. Rav Kiv Eger in Shuvas and the Chachma Shlomo discuss whether women are obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, whether it's a mitzvah that applies to women as well. And most Paiskim assume, you look in Chazan Avadi and Yom Neroyim, he has a whole discussion about this, most Paiskim assume that women are obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, I just want to make one point. You know, it developed this thing of eating, you know, sucking candies. And it's a nice thing. I think it's a nice, you know, that they eat sucking candies all day. It's a kind of Indian of eating. It's a very nice thing. It shows chavivas. Although Rav Soloveitchik is quoted as saying, I think it's either Nefesh HaRav or Pnini HaRav, that he doesn't necessarily believe that that's what it was meant. It means eating. It means meals. It means, you know, cookies, chicken. You know, it means eating. It doesn't necessarily mean, doesn't necessarily just mean sucking candies. Someone asks me every year, they come around with the skula, that there's the skula to have seven meals on Erev Yom Kippur, to wash and bench seven times. To me, I always tell them the same thing. They say it's a skula to get married. To me, it's a skula to make a lot of unnecessary brachas. I don't think that's allowed. To bench in order to wash again, in order to bench in order to wash again, to me seems like a lot of brachas in tzrichas. I don't believe that that's allowed. And I definitely think that that should be avoided. Okay, the last meal is called the Sudma Fseka. It's the last meal. It's customary not to eat red meat. And fish is debatable. It's probably better not to eat fish during that last meal. You should eat fish earlier in the day. You don't want to eat anything that will... that has too much salt. You don't want to eat anything that'll marbe zera, because a man is not supposed to see anything while he's sleeping the night of Yom Kippur. Okay, now the main discussion amongst the Paiskim when it comes to Yom Kippur is we know the major isser is the isser of achila. So let's take some time to figure this out. We know that on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to drink. And it's very severe. It's chayv kares. And therefore, the only person that's allowed to eat or allowed to drink is if it's pikuach nefesh, if it's life-threatening. Meaning, for someone to eat a full meal on Yom Kippur and to drink a full amount, straight up to drink, you know, bottles of water, that would only be allowed if it's life-threatening and the doctor says they have to drink that amount and they have to eat that amount. Most situations, when a chola cannot get through, you know, fasting without it getting to the point of being severe, meaning... You don't start off being a cholashish bosakana. You don't start off as being life-threatening. You start off as being ill. An older person that, you know, when they get dehydrated, they could pass away. Rahman al-Atslan. So you want to prevent dehydration. So that level chayla, a lot of times, the doctor will say that they have to eat what's called shiurim. It means eating less than the amount of food that will be chayv kares. Meaning, when you eat on, let's say, we'll get to this in a second. If you eat, it's called keseves agasa, which means a type of large date. If you eat that on Yom Kippur, that's called chayv karis. That's asur min haTorah and chayv karis. So such an achola that's not life-threatening right now, but it can get to life-threatening, the doctor will say, you have to eat what's called shiurim. Shiurim means less than that. All food less than Koseves Agasa, we'll get to this in a moment of what this is. All food less than the large date is biblically prohibited, but it does not come along with Kares. So therefore, because it's only biblical, we allow it for in this case, and we have to spread out the time, because if you eat certain amounts within a certain time period, they combine within each other. So therefore, what we do is we give a small amount of food with a certain amount of time. So we'll go through this exactly what this is. Let's just start off. I'll pick a pregnant woman as an example. Pregnant women have to fast on Yom Kippur. I get this asked a lot. Pregnant women have to fast on Yom Kippur. Now, someone whose life may be endangered by fasting on Yom Kippur is obligated to eat. Now, not all cholim who are obligated to eat on Yom Kippur have the same halachic dispensation. Meaning some people that are ill, the doctors, whenever someone is, the average pregnant woman can fast. If there's a high risk pregnancy, or she suffers from high blood pressure, diabetes, whatever the case may be, or she experienced miscarriages in the past, she should speak to her doctor, and there's going to be three options. The doctor can either say she can fast regularly, like all other pregnant women. The doctor might say she is so ill, she has to eat regular, no shiurim, she has to eat a full meal. Or most of the time, if the person is ill, the doctor will say they can eat what's called shiurim, which means they're going to eat a small amount, and they're going to spread out that time. And same thing with drinking. She's going to drink a small amount, spread over time. And we'll go through exactly what this is. Now, there is a small tefillah that's brought down by the Netta Gavriel on Yom Kippur that a person says before they eat. You know, I'll just say it to you now if anyone's interested. It's Netta Gavriel Yom Kippur. It's page 295. If you're going to eat, you have to remember it's a mitzvah to eat. It shouldn't make you feel bad. It's a mitzvah. Hineni muchan umazum l'kayim mitzvah achila ushtia k'may shekasavta b'tzarasecha. I am prepared to eat and drink as you commanded me to do so in your Torah. B'shamartis chukaysai v'smishpatai ashayasa oisa adem v'chay b'hem. As the pasuk says that you should live by my laws, that you're obligated to protect your life. U'b'schus kiyam mitzazu, and in the schus of performing this mitzvah of eating, tachtam oisiv is kolcholi amcha yisrael lufu shleima, that I should be sealed and amongst the other ill people for a refu shleima. And may it be your will that next year I'm able to fast in the classical sense. Now let's talk about eating. On Yom Kippur, the small amount is less than a kusevus agasa, a type of large date. Rav Moshe Heineman has an article of the Star K, and he explains that the volumetric measurement of a kusevus agasa is a little more than 1.5 fluid ounces. Therefore, if you're going to be eating shiurim, the most you could eat at a time is 1.5 ounces. 1 ounce is a shot glass, so you do 1.5 shot glasses. That's the most you could eat within a specific time period. Now, you should measure it out before Yom Tov if you could, but if not, you could do that on Yom Tov. Rav Avadia says you could measure it out on Yom Tov. Now, so you could eat up to 1.5 ounces. Let's do 1.4 just to be a little safer. So you're measuring it out with a measuring cup, 1.4 ounces of food. You put your chicken, you put your cookies, whatever you put in, 1.4 ounces, you mash it down, that's what you're allowed. But you have to spread it out. You have to wait what's called kedei achilas pras. You have to wait for the amount of time to be, because if you eat 1.4 ounces and then 10 seconds later you eat another 1.4 ounces, then from a halachic perspective, you ate 2.8. You got to spread it out to make it its own amount. So how much time do you have to spread? So basically, from 2 minutes to 9 minutes, there are many shitas. The Baal Tanya felt that it's 8 minutes. The Aruch Lener felt that it's 7.5 minutes. The Tzemach Tzedek said 6 minutes. Rav Elchanan Spector said 5 minutes. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted as saying 4.5, but he told Rav Aaron Felder 4. The Chassam Sofer said 9. So there's a lot of shitas. Practical halacha. You should wait 9 minutes between eating sessions. That's what you should do. Meaning, the average chola that the doctor says they have to eat shiurim, what they should do is they should eat 1.5 ounces every 9 minutes. And you could set it out. And by doing that, you'll eat over an hour a good 8 ounces, 7-8 ounces. Now, if that's too little, meaning if the doctor says that you need to eat more than that, then you could eat it every 4 minutes. You could rely on the shita Ramayisha to go to 4 minutes. And in the mamish worst case scenario that you can't even do that, then at least 2 minutes. So again, you should really wait 9 minutes. 1.5 ounces every 9 minutes. If that's not enough, then see if you could wait 8 minutes, that's good. 7, 6, 5, 4. Worst case scenario too, but it shouldn't come to that. 9 minutes is good. If not, you could rely on 4 minutes. Now that's when it comes to eating. Drinking is independent. So what's the status of drinking? Now, drinking is a little different. The minimal volume for beverages that qualifies for shiurim is called less than mali lugmav, a cheekful of liquid. Now, unlike with food, you see, with food, it's 1.5 ounces. It's not subjective. It's objective. It's 1.5 ounces for everybody. But when it comes to liquid, it's actually based on the size of your mouth. So this is what you should do. Before Yom Kippur, if you know you're going, a pregnant woman knows that she's going to have to eat or drink. So Eating, it's 1.5 ounces every 9 minutes. Drinking, this is what she should do. She should fill her mouth up to capacity so that her cheeks are sticking out. Spit out the water into a measuring cup. Split that in half, and a little less than that is the amount. Okay, once again, you could ascertain your personal Mali Ligma by filling your mouth to capacity, spitting out the water into a measuring cup, dividing that in half, and a little less than that. So if, let's say, a woman fills her mouth up, she spits it out, it's 3 ounces, so you split that in half, 1.5, do a little less than that, 1.3, 1.4. That's when it comes to Mali Lugmav. Now, if you didn't do this, Rav Heineman explains that for purpose of drinking Yom Kippur, we assume the average adult is 1.5. But again, you really should check yourself. But let's assume that it's 1 ounce. Let's say you did the test and your test is 1 ounce. How long do you wait? You know, drinking and eating are independent, meaning you're eating every 9 minutes. You could be drinking the same amount. They don't combine. Eating and drinking don't combine. But you also have to spread out the drinking. So how long should you wait between drinking sessions? Ideally, you should wait 9 minutes, if possible. In a perfect world, where you're still eating on Yom Kippur, so it's not that perfect, but in a perfect world, you eat and drink every 9 minutes. So you have your 1.5 ounces of food, and you got your Mali Lugmav, let's say it's 1 ounce of liquid, whatever it is, you did your test. So at 6 o'clock you eat, then 6:09 you do the same thing, 6:18, 6:27, so on and so forth. Now if that's not enough, then Rav Moshe says you could rely every 2 minutes. So again, you should wait 9 minutes. If that's not enough, then you could be drinking that amount every 2 minutes. I can email all you guys a list of exactly how to do this. I have all this information written down, so if this is confusing to everybody, I'm doing my best, but I apologize. Now again, if this is not enough, then you have to speak to a doctor, then you might have to eat regular. At some point the doctor is going to say, this is not going to work, fine. Now, if staying in bed will help prevent the patient from eating even one session in shiurim, you have to stay in bed and not go to shul. That's Rosh Hashanah Zalman Shita, that it's better to stay in bed and not go to shul if it means preventing one time. You know, meaning if you go to shul, you'll feel weak. You'll have to do this eating and drinking game. And by the way, when I say drink and eat every 9 minutes, I want to clarify, that doesn't mean you could do it all day. If you're full, stop eating. You do enough that you feel not weak, and the doctor says the amount. Meaning you just do it enough to keep you out of danger. It's not like it's still Yom Kippur. You're still not just like pounding food every 9 minutes when you're feeling okay. If the doctor says you have to do it, and the doctor says you should be drinking 5 ounces every hour, then fine. Then once you hit 5 ounces, then stop. But let's say going to shul is going to make you weaker and you're going to have to drink more, then don't go to shul. Don't go to shul. Now, when it comes to Kiddush and Brachas, I don't want to get into all that. I'll just say this. There's no Kiddush. If you have to wash and bench, then there might be other halachas, but there's no Kiddush. So those are the halachas that if a person has to eat shiurim, you eat, the amount is 1.5 ounces every 9 minutes. Drinking, you have to do your own Mali Lugmav. It's usually 1.3 ounces for the average person, and it would be 9 minutes, but if that's too long, every 2 minutes. Now let's talk about medication. Now the Stechemet, actually, there's a thing where you could take medicine before Yom Kippur, and it's like a slow release to make fasting easier. So the Stechemet was asked about this. Are you allowed to do that? So the Stechemet actually said that it's aser, because he said the Pasuk says, "Inisem es nafshesechem." You're supposed to feel the pain of Yom Kippur. So you're not allowed to do something before Yom Kippur that will alleviate that pain. However, Rav Paiskim, Rav Vadia, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, they all disagree. They say on the contrary, we eat on Yom Kippur, as I said before, in order to make Yom Kippur easier. So if I'm allowed to eat on Yom Kippur in order to alleviate the pain, of course I should be able to take medication before Yom Kippur that will alleviate the pain. So before Yom Kippur, you should be able to take a medication. The question is, what about on Yom Kippur? So the post can permit taking a bitter-tasting pill on Yom Kippur for a chola she'ein bo sakana. It's called an incapacitated person. Meaning if you have medication, blood pressure and other things that your doctor says you have to take every day, then you have the status of a chola. But let's say a healthy person, you wake up Yom Kippur morning with a migraine, your head's killing you. Is there anything you could do? So you could take a bitter tasting pill on Yom Kippur if you have the status of a chola she'en bo sakana. What does that mean? An incapacitated person, a chola she'en bo sakana, is someone whose pain is so severe that he stays in bed. Meaning migraine, where you would stay in bed if you had a choice. Furthermore, when an illness causes a person to so much pain or discomfort that he or she cannot function normally, they're also considered to be incapacitated. So if you're mamish out of it, then you could take a bitter tasting pill, not a sweet pill, not a syrup, a bitter tasting pill, but you can't take it with water. You cannot take it with water. If you have to take water to get it down, then the post can say you have to add something bitter like soap to the water, make it undrinkable. I don't know exactly how to do that, so don't quote me on that one. But you have to do without water. And now if you have a headache but it's not that severe, then you can't take a pill at all. Fine. Rav Gavriel Zinner actually says that it's preferred for the person who has a migraine to leave shul to take a nap if that will avoid taking pills. Again, you have to know the situation, but that's the halacha when it comes to taking medication. Now, what about a child? What's the status of children when it comes to fasting? So let me read you what Rav Avadia Yosef, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, but Rav Avadia Yosef summarizes it very nicely. And this is true for Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. I don't believe that there's much of a difference. Rav Avadia says like this, in Chazan Rav Avadia Dav Shin Lamed, Katan Pachas Megil Teisha Shanim Eina Mesanak Klal B'Yom Kippur, Rafil Tein Shois. Under the age... Under 9 years old, a child does not fast at all. And even if he wants to fast, we don't allow them to. That's under 9. Now, once 9 years have passed, meaning 9 full years, so they're entering their 10th year, what they do is called misana l'shos. What that means is, im hayaragul echo b'sham shmona b'boker, machilin oso b'sham teisha eser. We just push it off, meaning when a child hits from basically 10 and up, from 9 full years, which is 10. Once a child hits 10, then what you do is, it's called misana l'shos, which means you don't do a full fast. What you do is, you push off the you fast a little longer than normal. Meaning, if a child normally eats, let's say 9 in the morning is when they normally eat breakfast, then they should eat at 10 in the morning. You push it off. If they normally eat at 10:30, then they push it off to 11:30. You push it off a little bit. That's the halacha. It's called misanin l'shois. Okay. Now, Rav Avadia continues. Horiogalachal b'shah tesha b'boker. If this child normally eats at 9 for breakfast, machin osa b'shah eser, achasari, you serve him breakfast at 10 or 11. Hakol fi kocha ben lufi mezeg mativo. It's based on the strength of the child. But again, this is after 9. B'lochin alahorim losim inehim ala b'erev yom kippur sheyochav yishakogin. Therefore, you have to make sure they eat before in order to have strength, because they are going to be fasting a little bit. Now, he continues a couple pages later, and he says, bizmanenu. Now, the question is, once they hit 10, so when do they start fasting fully? So he says, "Bizmanenu she'ena ketana briyim kol kach v'lo mesugam lesanus yom shalom karoy." Nowadays, fasting is very difficult. It's different than the times of Shulchan Aruch. They had an easier time fasting. Nar shehishlim yud beis shana v'nar shehishlim yud alef shana yisanu at chatzos hayom v'lo yoser. A child that's 12 still does not fast fully. Meaning, from 9 full years and on, you do the hour. You just push off. They're fasting a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. But says Rav Avadia, even 12, where they're in the year of bar mitzvah, they're not bar mitzvah yet, within the year, or 11 for a girl, she's a year within bas mitzvah, they still should not fast past chatzos. That's Rav Avadia's opinion, that they still don't fast past chatzos. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that at that age, if they're able to fast the whole day, that's good, but says Rav Avadia, nowadays we don't have that strength. So they should really ask a shaila, but really from 12 and on, it depends on the child. Rav Avadia feels that the average child is not strong enough to fast the whole day, and you shouldn't push them past chatzos. Now, if you want to push them past chatzos, you have to ask your rav. You have to ask your personal rav. But that's from 12 and on. From 10 to 12, all you do is misana l'shos. You just push it off. And under 9, basically, nothing at all. But like I said, when it comes to children, you should ask a shayla. Okay. We'll run through some of the other halachas that are relevant to Yom Kippur. We know that on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash. Rechitza is aser. Now, rechitza, washing your hands, washing your face, washing your body, that's all usher if it's for pleasure. If you're very dirty, let's say you got, dirt or muck, or you got some, something on your hands, you could wash it off, because that's not considered for pleasure. Now, if someone is very sweaty, or their hands get smelly and they get disgusting, you could wash it off according to most paiskin. So if you go to the bathroom, you should make sure if you're going, let's say, let's say a man is urinating, he should make sure that his hands get a little dirty, to be honest with you, in order to allow to wash his hands after he uses the bathroom. But again, rechitza is mutter if it's to remove, if it's not for pleasure, if it's just to remove something unpleasant. Now, the other halacha that's relevant on Yom Kippur is called sicha. Sicha means anointing. Now, anointing with oils or, you know, something that smells nice, that's aser on Yom Kippur, even if it's to remove a bad smell. So you're not allowed to use deodorant on Yom Kippur, even if it's to remove a bad smell, because deodorant is considered sicha. And sicha, unlike rechitza, is allowed, according to Rav Paiskim, rechitza is allowed in order to remove something that smells bad and something that's unpleasant. You could wash with water. But to use an oil or a spray like deodorant is not allowed, even if it's to remove a bad smell, a bad odor. So that would not be allowed. You can't use deodorant on Yom Kippur, even if it's to remove a bad smell. Mouthwash is also should not be used. I just want to mention that it should not be used on Yom Kippur, of course. Rinsing your mouth out is not allowed. If your breath smells bad, use a tissue, and just dry tissue, or just deal with the fact that we're all, you're in the same boat with everybody else. Ni'ilas ha-sandal, which means wearing shoes. So you're not allowed to wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur. So there's a discussion amongst the Paiskim, what about wearing a sneaker? Non-leather sneakers. The question is the fact that it's like very comfortable, does that make it a problem? Rav Soloveitchik, amongst others, felt that part of the reason why we don't wear leather shoes is because we want to be a little bit in pain of inui, and sneakers that feel mamish comfortable could be a problem. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that if it has an arch, you shouldn't use it. Some rabbanim are against wearing sneakers on Yom Kippur. Many big rabbanim that felt that you should not wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, even if they don't have leather, because they're too comfortable. However, Shlomo Zalman writes the following in Halicha Shlomo: Min olam she'enu shalar. If you have shoes that are not made of leather, even if they're very comfortable, haminig leiluch behem lechachila. The minig is to wear them even lechachila. You're allowed to wear them even lechachila. So definitely you have what to rely on for sure. I think the common custom is to be lenient. The last thing I want to mention is Havdalah. Havdalah on Matzei Yom Kippur. So, Havdalah, obviously there's no Hinei Kel Yeshua Si, because that's only said on Matzei Shabbos. There's no Besamim, because the reason why we do Besamim is because the Neshama Yisera left, and the Neshama Yisera is not here, because first of all, it's not Shabbos, and even if it was Shabbos, there's no eating, so there's no Neshama Yisera. So there's no Besamim, there's no Hinei. So you start with Bari Pri HaGafen. However, you do say Bar Mara'esh. Now, unlike the average Shabbos and Yom Tov, Yom Kippur is very unique. Shabbos, the reason why we make Bar Mara'esh on Matzei Shabbos, people always ask, what's Havdalah? So it's very simple. Matzei Shabbos, we do Bar Mara'esh. The reason is because Adam Rishon on the first Matzei Shabbos of creation took two rocks, sparked it together, and made fire. So we reference that miracle every Matzei Shabbos. That's why there's no Bar Mara'esh on Matzei Yom Tov, because he didn't make fire at Matzei Yom Tov. So why is there Bar Mara'esh on Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur is different. The reason why we make Bar Mara'esh on Yom Kippur is not like Shabbos and it's not like Yom Tov. It's that it's the only Yom Tov where you're not allowed to make a flame. Where you're not allowed to kindle or extend the flame on you know, the average Yom Tov, let's say Sukkot. You can't strike a match, but you could take a match, go to a fire, and transfer the fire. That's allowed. Yom Kippur is different. Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. You can't do that on Shabbos, you can't do that on Yom Kippur. In order to show that Yom Kippur was different, we make Bar Mara'esh on Matzei Yom Kippur. However, it has to be what's called a Ner Sheshavas. Ner Sheshavas means a light that was lit the entire Yom Kippur from beginning to end, from Erev Yom Kippur. So what you should do is you should set aside a light from Erev Yom Kippur that will last the entire Yom Kippur, and that's the light that you use. If you don't have one, so according to Rav Moshe and according to some Rabbanim, what you could do is you can go to someone that has one, take a match, and use that match, and then light a Havdalah candle. But according to others, not. If you don't have a Ner Sheshavas, then you don't say Bar Mara'esh. So if you don't have a candle that was lit the entire Yom Kippur, and you have no access to one, you can't just light a match Matzei Yom Kippur. It doesn't work. You don't say Bar Mara'esh. So you should have a candle lit the entire Yom Kippur in order to set aside to be used for Matzei Yom Kippur for Havdalah. The last halach I want to mention is that we know that on Matzei Yom Kippur, we know that right after Ne'ilah, we say Ma'ariv. Now, for a lot of women, they're not in shul for that point, so they have to wait to eat and to drink until their husbands come home to make Havdalah, even if Yom Kippur is technically over. So let's say Yom Kippur is over, I think, let's say 7:50. Don't rely on me, but let's say, pick an example, 7:50. So the shul's over, they blow tekiah, 7:50, it's over, according to all the opinions, it's over. And we still have Ma'ariv. The halacha is that the average Matzei Shabbos, before Havdalah, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink. But you're allowed to drink water, according to the Shulchan Aruch. The reason why the common custom is not to, meaning the average Shabbos, the second Shabbos is over, whatever it is, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink, but you're still allowed to drink water. The reason why no one does that is because the Arizal was against it, Al-Pikabola, not to drink water. So right to Rav Avadia, if you're very, very thirsty, and you can't concentrate, you could say, Baruch HaMadim in Kodesh Chol, and drink water. That's the opinion of Rav Avadia and Rav Shlomo Zalman. So like I said, when Yom Kippur is fully over and a woman is waiting for her husband to come home and it's fully over, and you checked all the Zmanim, not just, you know, certain websites, you did at least 50 minutes after Shkia and you waited according to the Zman, you want to drink water, you definitely have what to rely on, considering after you say Baruch HaMadim Kodesh Chol, you could drink water, nothing else, not anything else. But Poshet water, according to many poskim, is allowed. If you could wait, that'd be better. Because the Arizal did say that it's better to wait. But if you can't, you definitely have what to rely on. Bez Hashem, everyone here, everyone listening, should have a Gemar Chasim Tova. All Jews in the world should have a Gemar Chasim Tova. And Bez Hashem, next year we won't be having the Shiurim, we'll be in Yerushalayim. If you have any questions, you could please send them to avizakutinsky@gmail.com. AviZakutinsky@gmail.com.